Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you are in this great big vast world of ours, I am guessing that life is not what it's supposed to be today, because I am trying to do a show with equipment and none of it was working, neither my actual show, my phone, my computer. My computer blitzed out, and I had to borrow one from school, and it wants to keep putting me onto Adobe Flash Player. And I saw our guest was there, and I also see now that he has subsequently hung up, and I apologize for that. I'm hoping maybe he'll listen and call back. I tried to send him a text message in the process of all of this, and so we're trying to see what all is going on here. Joy, joy, the funds of technology. You just can't win sometimes with it. So it is what it is. I'm trying to get to the other show, the another section of it, and maybe send him a Facebook message and see if we can deal with that. I don't know, you know. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling your own destiny. And there's some weeks, some days, I'm not sure what that destiny is. Hopefully our guest will be able to set a little bit more light on that. And then I sent him a text message on the phone that was saying something about him. There he is. Very good. So I'm just going to do the promo on this show and then pick him up and be grateful for all that there is. Anyway, so, you know, the deal today is that we want to talk about after further review. And I'm going to tell you, after further review, I just have to someday let how he just went away again. So I don't know what happened to him. I wonder if I don't have a connection here at all on the phone. This is interesting. And I don't know how to tell if I do or not. So, let's see. I don't hear feedback on my phone, so I'm thinking I don't have a connection on the call at all here. Well. Let's see, I'll check with my side producer here and see if she can tell me anything. There we go. We'll be back. Okay, well, let's try this again. I don't know if we'll see how this all works here. And we'll bring on Joe and then introduce him. How's that? We'll see if that works the way it's supposed to. sure the computer does not want to let me do that as well. I'm just going to sigh and pretend that life is exactly what it's supposed to be and that we'll get what we need when we need it, right? And go from there. I have another way of trying to do this.
Hey, Cindy.
Joe. Hi, Joe.
How
are technology.
You? Technology is I
could be
when it works.
You know, exactly.
Can you hear me okay?
My little old... I can. Were you able to hear me on the air doing my little blab there?
I could hear you perfect. I have technology issues. I know all about them. Stuff happens, and we move
yeah.
on. We make the best of it.
Exactly, exactly. So even the computer I got doesn't have all the stuff on it that I need to allow me to go on. So I'm trying to use off the phone, and hopefully this all works without too much feedback and things for it. So I apologize. And you know what? That means we get to start right in. I'll do all my little promo things and who brings this show and all that other stuff later at the end because we want to hear
okay.
from you and what we got to do with you on that. So folks, I'm just going to do it this way. You know, Purpose Talk Radio is brought to you every Friday, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the UK. We bring you folks that are living their purpose and letting you hear from them as to what they have done, how they've done it, why they've done it, and all that's involved in there. Our guest today is Joe Sweeney. I don't have the bio directly in front of me. I'm going to say that because it won't let me open it. But I will be able to tell you what I remember from it because I did read it and we put it up on Facebook and things a few times for you. So that's the good part about that. But he was the 9th of 10 children, as I recall. Meaning,
ninth
you know,
boy.
He got to
You're
learn
right.
a lot.
Nine straight boys.
Okay. All boys, too. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. So that's basically, you know, taught how to survival as well as helping and being with, you know, loyalty, developing relationships, discovering ways to help each other in the family, basically when Joe was at a young age. During his lifetime, he has been involved in many business opportunities, especially different relationships that combine love of business and passion for sports. And operated for manufacturing firms, was the president of Wisconsin Sports Authority, founded and ran an organization called SMG, which is a sports marketing and management firm that represented coaches and athletes, including this Wisconsin known, we're still going to claim him as Wisconsin, the three-time NFL MVP, Brett Favre. He also is an investment Joe's an investment banker, private equity investor, New York Times best-selling author, trainer, and national speaker. A common theme in every aspect of his career is that he tries to be well-networked and develop lifelong relationships along the way. Joe's given more than 200 talks around the globe, and the experience has motivated him to help others change their lives. And also, Joe's life changed drastically about 5 years ago. I think that it might have something to do with some of that agent changing around, but we can talk about that. But he started reflecting on what he's done and accomplished in the 25 years of business, what he realized, what he wanted to be sure to teach his kids, and now us, was that one common thread through everything that he'd done was about networking, connecting with others. And that's the main reason for writing his first book, Networking is a Contact Sport. It focuses on staying connected, serving others, and helping grow business and increase influence. He's fortunate to have the book land in the New York Times bestseller list, which is no minor task. Through his success of networking as a contact sport, Joe, as I said, has given more than 200 speeches throughout the world. And he's often asked, what can you do to help move the needle for my 600 employees? And he realized what they're really asking is, how can I help change human behavior? Most recently, Joe's book called After Further Review has been released, like, just in the last couple of weeks. And basically in that and in his other books, he's able to use what he's learned from his years in business and especially in football. He uses a lot of football analogies that relates to everybody here that is familiar with any kind of Sunday afternoon fast time to talk to us and share about networking. So there we go. When I found part of it, it worked. So thanks, Joe.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always great to be with you.
Thanks. That's a lot of stuff you've been able to accomplish. And you know what I like to ask my guests all the time, and I'm going to do it with this most recent aspect of these 5 years, probably, because you said in the bio that, you know, you started examining things. So was that a specific turning point? Was there something that made you say, boy, something just, what's the connecting point through all this? Or did it just kind of like fall in your lap, so to speak?
No, I don't think anything really falls in your lap, Cindy. I think one of the things that happened with me, and I'll use the analogy of the third book after further review, what I really did is I went into the locker room, what I'd call the halftime of life, and I kind of analyzed what I did the first and second quarter and took a long look at the human lifespan. And what I realized in the locker room that is that all of us are going to die. And every one of us on this earth and every listener, our lives have an expiration date on them. And I sort of looked at that and asked myself, what do I want to do for the next, 12,000 days? And so it really caused me to hit the pause button and reflect. And so like a football team in the locker room at halftime, I mapped out my strategy for the third and fourth quarter, and it meant I had to make some changes. And kind of, I think the big change is I left my job as an owner of an investment banking firm, and I went on the road and I speak and train. Quite honestly, the main purpose and passion why I was put on this earth is what I'm doing now. But it took some time, and had I not gone in the locker room and hit the pause button and realized really how short life was, I probably wouldn't have made the changes I made.
That makes sense. And I think there's a lot of us that do that. It's like come up on, you know, whatever arbitrary zero birthday for all of us, it seems to be. We start looking at it going, okay, is this the half of my life? Should I be doing something else? Sometimes it's a layoff. Sometimes it's, you know, we just don't know. There's various things that cause us to do that. But I think pretty much all of us do it sometime in our lives.
Well, you know, I think you're partially right on that, but I think there's a lot of people, Cindy, and I've spent some time with a lot of elderly people in palliative care, and I think a lot of people don't go in the halftime, and they end up one day, and they're 85 or 88 years old, and a lot of people look at their lives and say, what have I done? And so part of the reason of writing the third book after further review is to prod the reader into hitting that pause button and realizing how short life is and do the things you want to do and make the changes you want to make. For most people, Cindy, that make that change, it usually happens, as you said, with a crisis. I've lost my job. I lost my marriage. I've lost my money. But for a lot of people, I call in the book, what develops is a smoldering discontent. It's not pathological, but many of us do a lot of the right things. You know, we go to school, we get married, we have kids, we have a job. And maybe after 20 or 25 years of doing it, we ask ourselves, is this all there is? There's got to be more than getting a paycheck. And in my world, it was cutting more deals. And so when I hit the pause button, I think was looking for more purpose and meaning. And you can't get that unless you get quiet and you go in the locker room and reflect. Unless you have some sort of crisis that hits you.
Right, right. So this might be jumping the gun just a little bit, but is there, what kind of tools, did you have some tools that you used as you took that scenario and started looking at things?
Well, if you look at the first two books I wrote, Networking as a Contact Sport and Moving the Needle, I think there's a lot of tools you can use. But the tools, I think, are only useful if you can get quiet, because the second book, Moving the Needle, the subtitle is Get Clear, Get Free, Get Going in Your Career, Business, and Life. And the only way you can really get clear in life, I think, if there's a better way, I'm all ears, but is to get quiet. And I'm not, you know, I don't write books on prayer and meditation because it's different for everybody. And there's thousands of books out on that. But I just think if you get quiet, what really happens is things start bubbling up inside you. And so some of the tools I've used in some of the books is how do you create an ideal day, which really in turn helps you create an ideal week, an ideal month, an ideal year. And eventually what we're all trying to get to is how do we create an ideal life? So one of the tools that I've used is I have people go to their deathbed, or as I say, go to the nursing home. You're 92 years old. You're sitting there in your rocking chair reflecting on your life. How do you want your life to turn out? So in the last book, we have an exercise, and I ask the question, if your life really turned out great, what would it look like? I think that's a hard question, and you can't answer it in 2 or 3 minutes. That takes a lot of pondering. And then when I do workshops, I force people to write one full page. Take 15 or 20 minutes. What would your life look like if it really turned out great? That's a really hard question.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go through right. this process, I'm not saying it's easy and it's not a quick fix. And here, the third book, after further review, it is not. Here's a 7-step process that you can find your true meaning in life, because I don't think it's that easy. But I think we're so used to, give me a quick fix. I'll take a pill. Give me a 3-step process and I'll do it, and I'll make it all perfect. I think the key is to get quiet and feel what your true self is saying inside, what's bubbling up inside you. And sometimes when we get quiet like that, we don't like what we see. I kind of use the analogy sometimes, Cindy, that when you see a pond and it's really choppy, you can't see the bottom. But when the pond gets real quiet and the water settles, sometimes you can see the bottom and you can see an old Coke can, or you can see a bicycle tire in there. You don't always like what you see. And I think it's the same thing when you get quiet, look within inside yourself. And the things you see, it's not good or bad, but it's really, how do I make sense of it? What is it saying to me? And how do I relate that to my life as I move forward?
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. You know, and we talk on this show a lot about various spirituality and things like that. And I tell the listeners every time, whatever you use as that, whether it just means being quiet, whether it is a particular meditative practice you use, take what you can use and what works for you. We're not advocating one way or the other. Joe and I happen to be at the same location for some of our spirituality at the current time, and that's partly how I met him. But that everybody's got their own way that they connect, and part of where the theme song comes in, walking in spirit, doing our own destiny. So I do invite people to do that, whatever way that means for you.
It's funny, Cindy, I do a lot of speaking, and I make sure I never talk about politics or religion. And if people want to talk about spirituality, I'd love to talk about it. But here's one of the things I've noticed. When people talk about religion, it usually seems people want to prove who's right and who's wrong. And when you start talking about spirituality, people only have one question: how do I get more of it? So I really entertain and really engage in those conversations. I try to stay away from religion. I'm not into proving if I'm right or if someone's wrong, especially when it pertains to what their own beliefs are.
Yep, and I think you and I are very similar in that. So, they're totally different discussions. They really are. So I let people do and speak as they are comfortable too, as we do this. So,
right.
Okay. So let's back up to some of the stuff that you've done before and then move forward. If you're okay with that. Okay. So you're growing up in this large family, like you said, all boys. Oh man. was that all, were you folks business folks? Were they farmers? Were they, that typical, that size family really is not typical, even, now or back then. Was that just life and then you guys just moved on from it and, were you part of the business, that kind of thing? So what brought you into that aspect life? What type of family do I have?
Yeah, my dad was a small businessman, but I think what best depicts my upbringing is when my parents got married, their goal was to have a baby girl and name her Mary. And they said they'd try to have one. And my parents ended up popping out 9 straight boys. and the 10th was finally a girl. My parents were the most persistent people I've ever met. And I joke and try to tell people, say, what was it like growing up with 9 boys? Well, in one part of our house, we had 3 tiny bedrooms, 1 large dormitory-sized bathroom that had 3 sinks, 2 toilets, and 2 showers, and 9 rambunctious boys. I remember some of my earliest childhood memories. I used to wake up with 2, 3, 4 brothers in bed with me. I always say it was one of those typical Irish Catholic families. In fact, Cindy, I don't think I slept alone until I got married. But here's what I learned. Growing up in a large Irish Catholic family, you couldn't be self-centered. You couldn't be focused on yourself, because in this family of 12 people, if you were self-focused, you weren't going to make it in this thing called mass confusion. And so my parents taught us at a really young age to watch out for each other and to really take care of each other. And even to this day, I mean, I've got all my siblings are still alive. And we just got done. Just the siblings spent 3 days at a family retreat that we do every year to stay together. So my parents really did some unique things. But that really laid foundation of my first book is that networking is a contact sport. And what I really say is networking isn't about going out and getting something for yourself. It's really how do you help other people get what they want. And if you do a really good job of that, you'll get everything you want in life and more. And I think that's one of the key lessons my parents taught me growing up in a large Irish Catholic family.
Okay. And my family also was part Irish. So, and the other Catholic, yep, you get the determination on that as well. So I understand that. So you went from that. Did you start working yourself at a young age then?
Yeah, I did.
Being part.
Yeah, I was always kind of an entrepreneur. I had a painting business in college, went to college, worked for a few years in various jobs, and then I went back and got a graduate degree from Notre Dame in business. And one of the things, Cindy, when I was there, I really wanted to own and operate my own business, and I didn't have any money, and I wanted to figure out how to buy a manufacturing company. And that wasn't an easy task back in the 80s, so I researched every small privately held company I could find manufacturing between Chicago and Minneapolis. I built a manual database of about 1,300 companies, and I wrote all 1,300 people, owners, basically looking for an older person that wanted to slowly retire and bring someone in to eventually take over and buy out the business. To make a very long, complex story short, I found someone here in Wisconsin, and I went in and worked for him. Eventually, I took over his business, was able to buy the business, and I ended up owning 4 manufacturing companies. And then I got into the sports business. I sold the businesses and started a sports management company, did that, bought into an investment banking firm. But I was always an entrepreneur, always looking for opportunities. And then about 6 years ago, I wrote the book, Networking is a Contact Sport. And then I started a speaking and training business, and I've been doing that ever since. And I'll probably do that to the day I die, because after 30 years of business, I finally figured out I think what I'm doing now is what I was called to do and put on this earth for. But it took a long time for me to figure it out. I might not be that smart. I'm a little slow on the go, but I finally figured it out. And it was only when I got really quiet and got reflective did this all come to me.
Well, on the other hand, you have some people that say you needed that other experience to be able to get and be able to do what you're doing right now too. Because you if you didn't have that experience, you wouldn't have anything to share.
And so, because a lot of people I hear speaking, they'll talk on something like leadership. I'll say, well, tell me what organizations you've led. Well, they haven't led anything, but they've studied theories and, practical topics. I usually speak right from the heart. It's from my experiences in life. They're real. There's nothing phony about it. And I think there is some credibility. And I think you're right. Everything happens for a reason, and we do the things that we do because it's a lesson we need to learn in this existence.
All right. So what were some of the things that maybe that those businesses taught you that you've been able to share out? Obviously, I don't want you to be talking about all your books and giving away your secrets on that, but just some general statements we might want to be paying attention to.
It's funny. I've got, as I said, 10 siblings, And 8 of us are entrepreneurs, all owned our own business. And I think the one thing that people, the fallacy people have, is that people who run businesses, oh, they make a lot of money, they've got all this freedom and flexibility. Quite honestly, people who have that entrepreneurial spirit and drive love freedom and flexibility and the ability to create. It is really hard. Like I was in the office late last night, early this morning, getting things done and not having a lot of camaraderie around me. It's not like I've got, 30 people doing the same thing I'm doing, but I think it's really hard. But if you're really driven by it and you're passionate about it and you find out what you like, you'll never work another day in your life. And it's funny, in our family retreat, many of my brothers and I compared those notes about the challenges of being an entrepreneur and starting, because some people say you got to, in your jobs, every now and then you have to recreate yourself. When you're an entrepreneur, sometimes you have to recreate yourself every day, because I don't get a paycheck every 2 weeks. I know a lot of people do, but I've never had a paycheck. And so it's what I, even when I owned companies, I didn't take a paycheck. If there's money left over at the end of the year, I took it. And if we didn't manage the property or the companies properly, I didn't get a paycheck. So it gives you an incentive to get up early in the morning and sometimes work late at night.
you bet. Because you still got to put food on the table and pay the mortgage or the rent or the whatever. So.
Right.
And I'm sure now even your speaking engagements end up, they cost some money to travel. So
Right. Don't
we know it? So folks, I'm just going to punch in here too, that if anybody wants to ask Joe some questions or get involved in this conversation, you can do so calling 347-205-9074, 347-205-9074. And the other way you can do is you can Skype in. If you're on the show page, there is a Skype icon at the top of the page. And you press the number 1 if you've got something to say, or I'll just presume you are listening today. So I'll try to get that. Get some people calling as well. So I'm not the only one asking you questions. So
we move, through that business and through all that with your family. You got into the manufacturing, then you got into the sports arena. They seem like very different types of careers even at that point. But
well,
I'm sure there's some similarities.
Right. What happened, Cindy, is when I sold the my last manufacturing company, there was an organization started in Wisconsin called the Wisconsin Sports Authority. It was a an organization to help promote sports, and I just sold the business. I was available. So I did the job. They asked me to do the job, and I did it, and I realized I really liked the sports world. I always had my foot in it in a lot of different areas. And while I was working with the Sports Authority, I met a young quarterback from Green Bay by the name of Brett Favre, and we hit it off, and he was looking for someone to help him in his marketing and promotional efforts. And so we ended up starting a business together called SMG, the Sports Management Group. And Brett was our first client. He was one of the owners. And then we went on to manage a few dozen pro athletes and coaches. And so you're right. It doesn't sound like a natural fit to go from business to sports, but I had a love of business and a passion for sports my whole life. And I feel blessed and fortunate that I've been able and lucky enough to find jobs that have combined both the love of business and the passion for sports.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna throw in the personal question here. We're not gonna talk about Brett in general. I'm sure somebody may end up doing that before we're done. But you look at things like agenting various sports folks and trying to figure out dollar amounts and where to go and how to move. And it almost feels a little bit like a career, I want to say, in the military sometimes when I look at some of that stuff. Like I said, maybe it's a personal question. Maybe it's something other people have out there. How does that kind of stuff work? Like I said, because it seems like, people just move around you know, way too much sometimes because of better opportunities, which is great, and sometimes just because you just need some kind of change.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, in the pro sports market, you're basically a hired hand. And, you know, there's what's called in all the leagues the Players Association. But there are contracts mm-hmm. that you have with the team. You sign a contract. And many times they're short-term contracts because people get hurt a lot. And many times at the end of the contract, the situations on the team changes where maybe they don't need running backs or maybe you've been hurt. So I think what happens is as things change within a football team or a sports organization, the needs change for that team, and sometimes opportunities open up on other teams, and that's why you see players switch from one team to another. I'm not sure that answers your question, but that kind of gives a little overview of why people seem to change.
Right, and you know that's kind of what I was figuring, And I think as part of that, I was kind of hoping it was going that direction. You know, again, it I'm sure it's all, again, a review of, just like the review of the game, and you're in the book, you know, they start to review what's the best opportunity for them, and the team do the same thing as to what's the best opportunity for the team as well.
And there's something in all sports called the free agency, and after you've lived out or performed on your contract, if you haven't signed, you become a free agent. And then what happens is your representative will go shop you to teams to try to find the best fit for you. Sometimes it's economics, sometimes it's culture. But if you really look at, like, let's say the NFL, you know, people think it stands for the National Football League. Another way is not for long. NFL, not for long, because the average life in the NFL is 3.2 years. So players don't, it's a very physical, very violent sport, and a lot of people don't make it very long.
Yeah, I got a cousin that thinks, or a cousin, a nephew that at one point thought he was going to get into football, and he's out at Madison now and things, and it's just like, well, he was going to go walk on. Well, yeah, not so easy. So, we hear that. Everybody's got their dreams, and, you know, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
Right.
So, okay. So, I just kind of needed to pull a little bit of personal in there. So, so when you're going through that, you know, you get through – so do you still agent some other players, or have you stepped away from that
completely?
No,
I'm not. I left that about 10 years ago. And I bought into an investment banking firm, and I help people with mergers and acquisitions. And part of the reason I did that was the athletes that I was representing, I was trying to find businesses for them so that when they were done playing, they could buy a small business and they'd have a purpose, if that was their interest, to do something to keep adding value for the next phase of their life. So I ended up doing mergers and acquisitions. And during that process, I got the idea to write a book, and I wrote it in the evenings and weekends. And as we talked about when it came out, it did well. It made the New York Times bestseller list. And actually, I've probably given somewhere between 500 and 600 talks since those books have come out. And as a matter of fact, I just returned today from San Diego. I was in San Diego speaking there and heading out to Virginia Beach next week to do a talk. So I do this. I love my investment banking firm, and I do this full time. And I find great meeting, and I get really excited about it. I'll probably, and hopefully, God willing, I do this to the day I die.
So what gives you the most drive to do that right now?
I think that's a really good question. What gives me the drive? In the book, after further review, I talk about finding your life's purpose and your life's mission. And what gives me the energy to do it is this fulfills what my life's mission is. And again, you can't really find your life's mission until you get quiet and really think through it. And you asked earlier, Cindy, do I have a formula or some tools or techniques? In the second book, Moving the Needle, I say if you want to find your life's mission, an oversimplified technique to at least help you to begin the process is I ask people to write down 3 or 4 of what their passions are. And if they don't know, I say, reflect on the last time you did a project and you lost track of time. Or the last time you did a job and it was so fun, you said, I'd do it for nothing. Then you know you're onto something. And so I don't think of passions. And then identify your strengths. What am I really good at? And I think if you can find your passions and understand your strengths, combine those two and figure out how to serve others, that will help you to begin a process to finding your life's mission. I speak a lot to people in transition in the military, and I speak to a lot of college students, and all of them talk about getting a job. And I say, none of you want to get a job. What you really want to find is your life's mission. But sometimes we mask that. I want to find my life's mission because it's too deep. And people sort of surrender and say, well, I just got to get a job. I don't think any of us really want a job. And so I think that formula of passion, strengths, and serving others can help you to begin the process of finding what your life's mission is all about. And that's basically what I did. And my life's mission would right now is to inspire people and to get them to do things they never thought they could do. And that's what gets me up every morning. People say, why do you have to have that? What you do when you get up in the morning, who do you hang around, what activities you do, what you say yes to, what you say no to. And I don't think you can do that without some reflection of, number one, knowing who you are and what it is, and then figuring out what it is you want to do.
Okay. And I think part of that you've kind of alluded to already, you know, to be able to get that and understand what some of these things are, you need to network with people. You need to find mentors or shadowing or whatever you might terminology you might want to put to that.
Right.
To be able to investigate a variety of things. You know, sitting in a classroom, I'm sitting in a classroom now. You know, I'm not right at the moment, but, you know, doing a different education, I'm not really going to know which aspect of counseling I want to go into until I get out there and start to talk to the various people. I've got a general idea. And every time I visit another site, I'm like, oh, wow, that's a nice opportunity. And I think we all need to do that, too. You know. So you suggest, like, professional organizations, just, you know, I don't want to say the old pass out business card, but sometimes people just do that, go to networking events. Are there particular things that you used or that you recommend use in networking?
Right. Well, I think the reason the networking book, Networking as a Contact Sport, turned out well is it got people to reframe what networking is all about. Most people, Cindy, go to networking events and say, what can I get out of it? I need to find three, I need. Versus if you go to a networking event and ask really good questions and figure out how you can help other people, you usually get what you need. But it's counterintuitive because most of us have a mindset that we live in a universe that's filled with scarcity and not abundance. So most of us think that if someone else gets something, it means we don't get our fair share. Where actually, I believe we live in an abundant universe. There's more for everyone. And if you can go to these networking events and really try to figure out how to help other people, you'll be shocked at how much you get for yourself without even trying.
Right. Well, I think part of that, too, when you do that, when you end up going out to look for something, they're going to remember you more than, you know, you pick their brain entirely. They're going to say, oh, wait, I need to have, oh, I know who I can get.
Sure. Right. And I think the other key thing that I say, Cindy, is when you go out and network and you connect with someone, I always say try to find something personal about every person you meet. And if you really want to make an impact, like, for example, if you and I were to talk, Cindy, and in the conversation I ask questions about what are your hobbies, you might say, well, I love collecting Egyptian art. I'll just make it up. You know, I could send you a follow-up card and letter, and for no money I could Google cool Egyptian images and print out something and send it to you along with a follow-up. Now, I know it's just a little thing, but I really listened to what you were interested in. I found something personal and then did something memorable. And that's a way I think you really can connect with people deeply and in a very meaningful way.
That's nice. That's a good idea. Really good idea.
So where do you go from there? How do you move that needle forward then? From that.
From where? From where to where?
From you have your initial, contacts. You're out there. You're starting to network. You're starting to find people of interest that you want to connect with more. Okay, so you make the initial, and then, there is the old, hang out for coffee, but how you do that with it sounding like, speed dating service, for lack of a better word, that kind of stuff. Where do we take that?
Well, I think every situation is different, but I think if you go to a networking event of 300 people, there might be 3 or 4 people you want to follow up with. I would always try to follow up with someone trying to find out what I can do for them versus saying, hey, can I have a cup of coffee with you? Because I think you can help me get a job. That's kind of a turnoff. Like maybe you might say, Cindy, that I'm looking for counseling clients that I can counsel. And maybe if I wanted to follow up with you and say, Cindy, I'd like to get together with you to maybe discuss how I could help you find some more clients. That's how you would say yes to me versus saying, Cindy, I really want to find a job. Could I pick your brain of how you can help me get a job? I think that's a total turnoff. So I think a simple fact is to figure out what people need, what their wants are, and follow up with
them. Yeah. No, and I agree with you on that. I didn't mean to imply that the cup of coffee is what can I give you or what can,
Right.
I mean, what can you give me? It's what can I give you, right? Staying in that same frame of mind. Because it is too often that, I don't know if it's a younger generation. It just feels like it sometimes, where if, I can't get something from you, I'm not going to carry on the conversation. And it may be a stereotype. I get it. And if I'm wrong, I'd love somebody to call in and have the discussion with me. Maybe I'm just trying to entice people to call in. I think things have changed along the way. And how we do, like you said, how we do networking, what we do networking, some of it's, Skype, email, those kinds of things too now that make stuff a little bit easier and a little bit faster, which is kind of, good things on some levels and,
Yeah, I think it's good to do research and the social media thing and emails and all that. But I think real true networking happens when people meet face to face. I really do. It's tough to develop a deep, meaningful relationship electronically. Now, I'm not saying you can't set up meetings electronically, but if you rely solely just on social media and emails to set up your network, and that's your network, it can go wide, but it doesn't go very deep.
So, okay. So where do you want to take us in this conversation at this point? I know you had a couple things that you wanted to cover, too.
I just think maybe for your listeners, I think maybe a good resource for them would be to go to Amazon and pick up the book after further review, because I think it would resonate with the with your listeners, because it does really talk about the art of reflection, about how to take a look at your life, how to find more meaning and purpose in your life, which is really the whole thrust of this radio show. And I think there are snippets and tidbits in the book that can help all your listeners move the needle both personally and professionally in their lives.
I think you're right. I mean, I've had a chance to look through it. I haven't finished the whole book. And especially anybody that has any knowledge of, I just want to say any game, it doesn't necessarily have to be football. There's things in there that people connect to, and in some cases I think it might help them understand football a little better.
I think a lot of people try to communicate spiritual teachings in areas that don't make sense to the common folk, and I think, well, by common folk I mean people who or like sports, and many times they can't relate to someone talking on a spiritual level. And the book is really about what I think 12 of the most important principles and life's lessons spoken through the game of football, of which a lot of people in America, there's 100 million people in America that follow football. So, you know, I think there's a large market there, and I could use some of these football analogies to get people or move people into an area of spirituality. And it's not overt, it's not in your face, it's sort of a subtle way of doing it. So I think part of the purpose of this book is to introduce, I would say, spiritual concepts in a non-threatening, non-direct way to people who are thinking about it. And this is a this could create a pathway and an avenue for them to dig deeper.
Okay. Sounds like a good option for them.
Okay. So your favorite chapter in the book?
Yeah, it's probably the four quarters. And we talked about this earlier. There's four quarters in the game of football, and if we stop and hit the pause button, there's four quarters in the game of life. And as I said earlier, I think the best thing about understanding the four quarters in football is a football team goes into the locker room at halftime and figures out what worked and what didn't work the first two quarters, and then figures out a game plan how to live the third and fourth quarter. And as we talked about earlier, that becomes a really great exercise when we realize our lives as we know it has an expiration date on it. We're all going to die. And that will really, I think, if we understand that, force us to take massive action and live every day to its fullest. And I think my second favorite chapter, this is probably the last one, and it's called The Final Ticks on the Clock and the Art of Letting Go. And if you look at a pro football player's life, a lot of them have a hard time retiring. But not just in football, a lot of us have a hard time retiring in life because our ego is so identified by what we do and what we have. And when we no longer do, like retire, or we no longer have, we don't have our assets or our money, by that definition, we're nobody. And that's not true. When we're all creatures that's created and loved by divine power. And so as part of that, of our attachment to this world and our job, a lot of us don't know how to detach. And therefore, that's one of the reasons we struggle with death, I think. You know, if you look at the plant kingdom never struggles with death, nor do animals. In fact, you know, if you look at a zebra herd that's being chased by lions, some of the older zebras will slow down and be eaten by the lions so the younger ones can live. And I just think that's a great analogy for life. And, I mean, just to mentor the next generation in our second half of life. And so I think if we really can learn the art of letting go of our possessions, our titles, and even our bodies, we can all learn how to die. And that's one of the things I really want to do in the second half of my life is figuring out how to die gracefully. And I don't think you have to wait to the end of your life. I think if you really hit the pause button and reflect, I think we can die a little bit every day. And I think what I mean by that is if we can really learn to die to our own egos, our own self ambitions, and for me, that's a real adjustment because I'm the ninth boy in our family. I'm the runt of the Irish Catholic litter. And I joke a lot, but I'm somewhat serious about my terminal insecurity. when I say that I'm just another American insecure male, some people think that's redundant. Last chapter is the art of letting go, learning how to die, and how do we exit this game of football, and how do we exit the game of life?
Okay. Yeah, and people would think, you know, with being around football players and being around business and all that, you know, and the success that it sounds like you've been able to accomplish, however anybody decides that, I'm not, you know, defining it one way or the other. But, you know, being able to do what you want right now, to me, is success. You know, I don't think people would think insecure or questioning or any of that in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think too, sometimes people assume based on what they see in front of them rather than looking a little more deeply at other people. I think that, again, we come back to that networking. It gives you the opportunity to find out what the person really is. We have to portray certain things to the outside world, but then we also
right.
have to be our own selves and be true to ourselves in the process.
Right. And I think one of the spiritual leaders that had the most influence on me, Cindy, is probably Wayne Dyer. I think he's written total 42 books, and I've been blessed and fortunate enough to read all of them. And he has really resonated with me. He's really been a great mentor and role model of mine.
Yeah, I think a lot of us love that man. And, you know, he left a definite legacy that I don't think is ever going to get old. I really don't.
I still listen to him every day. And it's interesting, Louise Hayes from Hay House died this April 30th, and Wayne Dyer and Louise were so close. Wayne died 2 years earlier on the same day, August 30th.
Oh, my gosh. I had not realized that.
Yeah. Both were incredibly neat people.
And I hadn't, you know, and I posted about both of them on my various Facebook pages and things, and I just had not, that had not clicked for me. Or now
right.
I hadn't even seen it anymore, which is interesting. Tell me something today.
Okay.
Tell me otherwise. But, you know, that's one of those little trivia things. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, again, folks, I'll give you the phone number one more time. Hopefully somebody's got something else they'd like to ask. I know it is the middle of the day. But 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. If you'd like to talk to Joe Sweeney, our guest today, a former Brett Favre agent, businessman, banker, all kinds of wonderful stuff, now best-selling author, national speaker. If you have some questions for him, please do give us a shout and we'll put you on the air and let you ask the question. Okay. So, what is your intention and what do you plan to do from here for yourself? Uh-oh, did I lose you? We may have lost Joe. Okay, let's see if I can get him back here. I did hear some stuff in the background. Your star's still there, but I'm not hearing you talk, Joe. Did you mute yourself with the he just went away. Hopefully he will call back in. Maybe he just muted himself in the process. I heard some sounds in the background. And maybe he had to take a call or deal with some business over there. So we're waiting for him to call back. I will tell you again that Purpose Talk Radio does air on Fridays. Noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the U.K. We do bring you guest topics, things that talk about people living their purpose, whatever that might mean. Whether it be someone who is cutting lawn, flipping burgers to a multi-billionaire CFO of a company. Doesn't matter. If they are living their purpose, we do invite them to be guests on our show. If you are someone who would like to be a guest, or if you have product or services you'd like to share with us, please do send me an email to cindy@purposetalkradio.com, C-I-N-D-Y @purposetalkradio.com. Again, cindy@purposetalkradio.com. I'll send him a text message here and see what might have happened. And
then the song that you heard at the beginning of the show is called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group Church Trinity. The vocalist on that is Jillian Clark. The writers on that are Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. You can find that song at truetrinity.com, TRUETRINITY.com. Let's see, what else do I need to tell you? See anyone calling in right now? So, here he is. I got two different lines with him on now. That's interesting. Let's bring Joe back in here. Hello, Joe. Are you back? Are you still on mute? So I'm going to put that line on hold and try the other one.
Hello?
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 Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay, that was weird. The other line had you totally dead.
I don't know.
One line was mute.
Yeah. So maybe we could wrap up with a question here. I have to go do a television interview here. I'm scheduled to do that. This is
okay.
We started a little late here, but maybe we can end with a final question from your end, and and then we could do a call to action for the readers or the listeners.
Okay. My last question to you was going to be: so, what are you planning to do from here? What's next for Joe in the process of looking at the next quarter, looking at what's going on, or just staying with what you're doing right now?
Yeah, no. Well, I think as I mentioned earlier, I think I've really done some deep dives, and I realized that my mission in life is: how can I help other people on their journey? How can I inspire them to do things they never thought they could do? And once you find that, I think the question becomes, what form does that take? And I found the form that works best for me is going on the speaking circuit. And I'm really focused on this new book on talking to churches, because I think in that market, people are searching for more meaning and purpose. And I've tried the online marketing, hustle online, but I feel much better being in front of people, touching people, talking to them, seeing eye to eye. And so my mission now is to get up every day and see how many people I can inspire and get them to move the needle both in their personal and professional lives. And I do that through writing books, doing talks, doing workshops and seminars. I also sit on several boards. I'm currently on 6 boards of directors. And so I spend a lot of time on that, helping business owners and businesses, as I say, move the needle. And so I'm in much more of an advisory role. And I think what happens from the first to the second half, Cindy, at least for me, is I get more satisfaction out of helping other people succeed than focusing on my own success and, what's in it for me. And that's sort of a transition I really learned from the halftime experience.
Cool. So is there an affirmation that you have that comes out of all of your work that you'd like to share? Because we always try to put affirmations on the show at this point that goes into the Purpose Talk Radio station. So.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I do, I call it my 14 stations in the morning, and it's 14 different prayers. Some are prayers, some are affirmations. But I think the two affirmations maybe we can leave with your listeners, and I try to say this every hour in the hour or any time I'm in a tough situation. The two affirmations I say maybe 100 times a day are these two. I say the light of God shines through me and the love of God flows through me. Those are the two affirmations I try to say when I get up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, and throughout the day. So maybe we can just leave that with our listeners today, that the light of God shines through me and the love of God flows through me.
Beautiful.
So
why don't we leave
it with them, Cindy? Will that work with our listeners?
That will be perfect. I will put that up on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page when I can get over there and put up a blog link for this show.
because it didn't connect up there, but there will be one still there. You can check and see if any listeners, as they come from the archive, put any other questions up. I'd appreciate that for you. And last thing is, how do people get a hold of you?
If you go to our just go to joe@joeswinney.com. You can find out our any materials that we have. There are videos. There are things that you can learn more about us and how we can help you on your journey. So, Cindy,
okay.
I just want to say how grateful I am,
okay.
and thank you for having me on your show. It was awesome.
Thank you. Go knock them with the TV with you.
All right.
Thank you very
much.
Thank
you so much. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, folks, that was Joe Sweeney. We did have a little bit of a late start here. That's okay. We got this show going again. Never did get that computer quite working, so I'm glad the phone worked today. And we will put the other information up online for you. Under Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, please do come over there. If you have other people that you know would like to hear this show, send them the link to it. The link of the archive show is at the same place as the original show. And you can pick it up there. And the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page will have then a post regarding this show where you can put any questions, comments, or things that you'd like to do there. This show is brought to you this week and every week by True Business Travel, a full service travel agency, accommodating especially those that need individualized accommodations on their trips. And that is at True Visions Travel, TrueVisionsTravel. Again, Purpose Talk Radio is every Friday. You can reach me directly, Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com. For any questions, comments, sending us guests, people that you think might like to be involved in the show. Love to hear about it. So I think having all of that, Purpose Talk Radio is very much involved in positive aspects of life and doing things that are positive. So I will leave you with two songs as we go out here. The one is the Positive News song, even though it is no longer Positive News Month in November. And then, of course, the Purpose Talk song, Purpose Talk Radio theme song, which is, again, that allows us to walk in spirit moment by moment, fulfilling your own destiny. Until next week, I wish you all soul blessings and thank you for listening. Have a great day. And maybe we will not, because it doesn't want to go to the song. You know, there's always a difference between working with a PC and working with a Mac. But we'll see what we can do here.
Is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. We'll be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. I feel a change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming.
One more thing, for any of you who might be in the Milwaukee area or the metro area, you are welcome to join Joe at Unity Center in Milwaukee this weekend at 12 o'clock on Sunday, the 24th, talking a little bit more about his book, about after further review, and in general, giving some further information that might be of interest to you. That address is 1717 North 73rd Street in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And you can get that information also on the on his website, I believe. So have a great day.
I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.